listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Friday morning, and joining me in studio this morning, the Reverend Matthew Heise, Executive Director of Lutheran Heritage Foundation. Good morning, Pastor Heise.
Good morning, Andy.
Glad to have you in studio here today. And tell us a little bit about what's going on with Lutheran Heritage Foundation today.
There is always plenty going on. Actually, let's kind of focus a little bit on Asia to begin with. One of the questions I sometimes get, because we, of course, do the catechism, children's Bible story books.
Sure.
We also do the Book of Concord. And one of my old parishioners and teachers said, what are you guys doing the Book of Concord for? And so I really, okay, I have to really explain this.
Right.
The Book of Concord, of course, is not something that a baby Christian just picks up and says, gosh, I think I'm going to read the Book of Concord. But certainly that is mostly for pastors and certainly seminary students. And actually, you'd be surprised at how many people are fascinated by the theology. I have an old student of mine when I was teaching in Russia, Mikhail Ivanov, and he is pastor of one of the largest Lutheran congregations in downtown St. Petersburg. And Misha was telling me not too long ago that he has 25 to 30 people meet with him weekly in the evenings. I believe it was Thursday evening to go over the Book of Concord. Young adults who are fascinated by the theology,
sure,
of the Lutheran Church and want to learn more about their faith and how to express that in a country that is used to be atheist and now is predominantly Orthodox. So that's one of my answers. I said, that's of course, the wonderful opportunity that doesn't always occur, because mostly it's for pastors and certainly seminary students.
I think it was written by laymen as well as pastors. So
sure.
It's very fitting for laity to read it.
And I think, you know, it just goes into such depth. And one of the things that we're doing right now, which is fascinating to us, is we've got a project, especially for 2017, to focus on getting the Book of Concord translated into many Asian languages. We're seeing explosion of Christianity in the Asian world, and the Lutheran Church has a great opportunity to impact the way people think about our faith. And so right now, my colleague Ted Nathalong is doing just wonderful work in helping us get projects going. So he and I will be in Seoul, South Korea in about a month's time, because there is a Book of Concord project for Korea, which was done by my old seminary prof, Wang Yongji, about 50 years ago. The language has changed, so you have to update it.
What do you think the pastor, the seminarian, the layperson learns as they're reading the Book of Concord? The example you used in St. Petersburg, that so many of the members are wanting to study the Book of Concord there. What is it that they're learning, that they're discovering as they read it together, especially as they study together?
Well, I mean, just there is no limit to it. Maybe just one small point. Especially when I was teaching in Russia, the Orthodox influence is very strong. Mm-hmm. And the Orthodox will quite often say, we have this spark, this iskra, a spark of divinity still within us, this spark of goodness, and we need to kind of fan it and get it moving again. And as you go deeper into the Book of Concord, I mean, it really lays out how completely fallen we are and how we cannot do any good works. It really unpacks Romans 7 and Paul's statement that the good that I would to do, I don't do, and the bad that I don't want to do, I end up doing. And so this is a great opportunity to once again, in depth, explain that to people who have a different mindset. And I found many people of Orthodox background and others, as they began to read that, they discovered, oh, yeah, the Bible does talk about this, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so they get in deeper and they begin to understand. Once they understand that they come before Christ with nothing, only our sin, and that solely by faith in Him and what He has done for us that we are saved, then the wheels begin to turn and the Spirit begins to work.
As they work with and learn from the Book of Concord, they dig deeper in the Scriptures.
Yes.
And they learn truly from the Word of God what the truth is, and that shapes their worldview in a world, in a culture that skews the Scriptures.
Yeah, exactly. And so when you especially see ritual in the land, and the way I saw it in Russia, where, I mean, one of the big jokes, I guess you might say, was that back in the 70s, Vera Brezhnev, I believe her name was Vera, actually I think that's the cousin, but the wife of Leonid Brezhnev, of course an atheist, but every time she walked by an Orthodox church, she'd make the sign of the cross. It was kind of that little protection, that magical talisman, that notion that I do a little something to kind of protect myself. And that's deeply ingrained in the Russian psyche. And as you talk to so many Russians, I remember my mentor, John Mayle, my vicarage supervisor, just arguing with this one guy. He says, "You just want to keep doing something for your salvation, don't you?" And this poor guy, it took a long time to really explain things. I have parishioner, Mikhail Chistakov in Nizhny Novgorod. And I remember as a vicar, the pastor and I just sat with him. He was a wealthy businessman. And he told me, he said, "You know, I don't understand justification by faith. I went to an Orthodox priest and I said, 'How am I saved?' And he told me, 'Do good works.'" And then it was a longer conversation, but that was the gist of it. He said, "Do good works." And he said, "I understand that. I can't do it, but I do understand it. But you tell me that I don't do anything, and through faith." And we took a whole afternoon just to unpack this for him. And then I saw him, I think, a few years later. He was still going to church. And he came up to me and he said, "Remember that conversation we had a few years ago?" And I said, "Yeah." He says, "I got it." And he's still there. He's a friend of mine on Facebook. So it takes time. And you know, in the Asian world right now, we've got opportunities going in these former communist countries like Laos, Vietnam, China. We're doing Mandarin, Indonesia, too, where there's a large Muslim population. So Ted is helping lead these book projects in all these places. And the Vietnamese Book of Concord is just a fascinating opportunity because we have retired pastors who assist us. We give them a small stipend for doing presentations. And Pastor Tom Batsky of St. Joseph's, Michigan, has just gathered together the Southwest Circuit pastors in Southwest Michigan and said, "We need to do a project. Let's do the project for the Vietnamese Book of Concord." And Pastor Carl Bassett of St. Paul's in Niles. Niles is just north of South Bend, literally on the border of Michigan, Indiana. His congregation supported me for many years in Russia. They're just a real mission congregation. And Carl was a Vietnam vet. And he said, "I had to really, really fight and struggle with this because I left, even to this day, with a lot of bitterness in my heart towards the Vietnamese. And I realized that that was not good and that was not right. And I need to be involved in this project." Mm. And it's been therapeutic for him. I mean, it's a wonderful guy. I would never have known he had bitterness in his heart. You would never guess that from his sunny demeanor. But talk to Vietnam vets. I have an uncle who's a Vietnam vet. That had an incredible impact on many folks who fought in Vietnam. And so in this way, Carl is really both feet in and assisting. His congregation is now giving a monthly donation to help print and translate and print then the Book of Concord in Vietnamese.
As you were sharing the names of some of your friends from Russia and you spoke them so well, it reminded me of the value of language and learning the language, the importance of bringing these materials, the Book of Concord, the Small Catechism, God's Word, the Bible, to people in their heart language, in the language that they speak, that the language in which they think.
Right. Because, you know, you can fake it for a while.
Sure.
You can learn the language as well as you can. I'll never be a Russian. I could never do that. I can fool Americans. I could fool a few Russians. But on the whole, deep down, the people within the country of Russia need these books in their own language, their own heart language, and not from some American talking or translating with them.
So tell me about we're talking about these resources for Vietnam.
Yeah.
How is that going, working on, tell me about that process of preparing these resources, the time, the energy, the effort that goes into that translation.
Well, I mean, the important thing, of course, is you're looking for a couple of things. You're looking for someone who understands English and can make that translation. But that's not all. If you don't have someone who understands Lutheran theology, I mean, we work, for example, with Good News Journal. Wallace Schultz works closely with us. And Wallace and I were talking the other day about doing one of the Good News Journals in Farsi, and says we have to find somebody who really understands Lutheran theology to unpack what he has prepared. So you have to have both of those things together. And sometimes you're going to need, and you need a team, because there's not always going to be one individual who understands the language, English perfectly, who understands Lutheran theology perfectly, and you need to gather that team together and work. And Laos, as Ted was telling me just the other day, Laos, for example, there's no Lutheran church. So you begin to make an impact on people, and they begin to read and say, as I always found in Russia, that's what I believe, as they began to read the Lutheran Confessions.
I just might be a Lutheran.
I might just be one of those secret Lutherans, and I never knew it.
So the Book of Concord in Vietnam, other places that other materials are being prepared and going?
Yeah, of course, Luther's Small Catechism. We are doing this actually in Myanmar too, Burma, if you want to use the older colonial phrase there for Myanmar. But I mean, there is obviously a country that is pretty much run by a military junta, so difficult to get into. And what Christian influences there have been there are Baptist. So once again, we're finding these Baptists resonating to Lutheran understandings. And so as they begin to read and understand, water in the Word, this isn't just symbolic, this is real. And beginning to unpack Luther. And so my colleague Ted will make visits there and begin to talk to people and explain Lutheran theology. He comes from a Buddhist background, so he understands them. And of course, growing up in a Lutheran family, he understands Lutheranism very well, and he understands the mindset. So we're blessed to have someone like him who really can work in that Asian context, which I couldn't. And I'm more comfortable over in the Eastern Central European context.
Why is it key to have someone who understands that worldview when working in a new country or in a new culture?
Oh, there are probably quite a few answers, but I think one, you know the questions, and you can cut to the chase. For a person like me from a foreign background, I don't know the questions that arise. For example, with Russia, as I mentioned, I understand the questions there because I understand the notion of the spark of goodness that they believe still resides within the soul. And I understand the focus on good works. So I kind of know where we're going with questions there. Ted understands the Buddhist world. He understands those questions. Hisham Shahab, a pastor from Illinois, has put together a wonderful tract for us in Arabic, which, by the way, we were able to distribute at a Syrian Christmas party, a Christmas party for Syrian children in Leipzig, Germany.
Wow.
Not we, but just a wonderful opportunity, doors opening there. But Hisham knows how to answer those questions. I mean, do you start right with Jesus? Well, maybe you start with God. You start with God the Father and work your way there. So you begin at different places. You end up at the same place. Paul does the same thing in Athens, for example. I mean, Paul tries to make these connections. He says, oh, I understand. You realize there's a God. And he lauds them for that. He says, your poets say this too. This is wonderful. But where does Paul end up? He ends up with Jesus and the resurrection.
Right.
And some believe, and others mock him.
I was talking with Pastor Koo from the seminary here recently, off the air, about the catechism in the language of the people, and was explaining that it's important to understand the culture that you're talking to, because you know, coming to from a culture where animism is so prevalent, and superstition and animism and things like that is so prevalent that you need to understand that and not just briefly cover the second commandment.
Yeah. Oh my. You know, I have just met Koo. Koo has worked with us now for quite a few years. And just by the way, I was here for the multi-ethnic symposium and he helped put that together. Just a marvelous opportunity, especially for Concordia Seminary to have students that are going to be under his tutelage. I mean, we're just thrilled. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he understands these different translations, blue and white, Hmong dialects. I have no clue what that means.
I didn't either, but he was sharing that with me the other day, and I learned something new.
he knows that. He knows the differences, and he knows that there's enough of a difference that you should print two separate catechisms.
Sure.
Others might just combine it into one. So those once again, are things that I don't know. And you reminded me, too, that we've got a Hmong Book of Concord.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the works. All these shooting for 2017. I think something's occurring there in October, but you'll have to fill me in on that. I'm not quite sure what it is.
I think there's an anniversary of some kind.
I guess so.
Well, I'm always amazed to hear hear of the work that Lutheran Heritage Foundation is doing, to hear of the people who are working diligently on these projects, and the people who are so greatly touched by these, who get to hear the gospel for the first time quite often because of the work that is going into translating these materials into their own language.
Absolutely.
How can congregations, groups, LWML groups, Sunday schools, families, individuals learn more and help out do this work?
Well, first, if you want to find more information, just go to our website, www.lhfmissions.org, and you will see all the materials and resources we have. With congregations, we like to ask them to consider actually making us part of their mission budget. Mm-hmm. Because as we've been talking, this is mission work. This is mission work around the world. This is mission work in St. Louis here.
Mm-hmm. Right. You're right. It's not just in other parts of the world. These cultures are coming to us here in the United States as well.
These cultures are coming to us. And just a unique story, my field ed congregation was St. Paul's, just off Grand Avenue in St. Louis. And we do a VBS project called River of Life. Pam mm-hmm. Nielsen, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, put together a wonderful project there. And we do that for VBS. I donated to them. I said, do this. It's a smaller congregation, used to be great, large. They had 25 kids come, and James Kirschenman, who's a student there, just gathered these kids together. Eight of them were baptized after this VBS course in St. Louis, kids who weren't baptized before.
Thanks be to God. LHFmissions.org is the place to find more information, find out the resources available, how you can help as well, right there on the website. Pastor Matthew Heise, the executive director of Lutheran Heritage Foundation, thanks so much for being our guest here on His Time This Morning. Always great to talk with you.
Good to talk to you too. Thank you.
Coming up in just a little bit, our study of the daily New Testament reading. Today we're studying with Pastor Landgraf here in Missouri. He's at Pilgrim Lutheran Church in Freedom, Missouri, St. John in Drake, Missouri. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.